Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman once again with the Approaching the Natural podcast. And if you're just joining me, welcome. And if you are a long-time or short-time listener even, glad you're back with me. Each week I touch on topics and subjects relating to my approach and philosophy of health and happiness. The closer we get to what's natural to us in this modern world, the more we thrive. And understanding that we're all not going back into the wild, but I do believe and advocate that we can do a little bit what's more natural for us as a species. We can bring in those things step by step, in minute steps, even over time. And we can do a lot better than we're doing. How's that for science for you? Do a lot better than we're doing. The fact is we're not doing that well, and as a species, certainly the least healthy species on the face of this earth. And we're not going to go back to being a natural species, but we are a natural species in our design. And we are a natural species in an unnatural world. So how do we marry those two things together in a way that works a little better for all of us? And I think I've kind of hit on something, and I talk about it each week. Agree or disagree with me is up to you, but I'm just, you know, give me a shot here and see what you think. Sometimes I'm just all about just try it on for size. Even if you think it's ridiculous, give it a shot. I've seen it work with my clients over and over again. I've seen it work with myself as well. And I do walk the talk myself. Before we get into this week's subject at hand, a few little show notes as I do. As the opener mentioned, this podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. It's a 41-room lodge, and I head up their wellness center. There's also a plant-based restaurant and an organic farm and an indoor pool and all sorts of awesome stuff right out here on the coast. And I head up their wellness center, and so I, 8 months ago, whenever I started this thing, in September, I believe, approached them and said, hey, I need some stuff to do this thing, just like that. And didn't really give them much more detail. And they were like, yeah, cool, that's great. We'll give you the stuff to do the thing. And I got the stuff to do the thing. And I've been doing it ever since. And enjoying the heck out of it. And really enjoying watching the numbers grow. And so I'm touching a nerve, which is cool. Listen, I know that I could have, 50 times the listeners if I talk to you about calorie counting and diet plans and diets and how to lose a bunch of weight. But that ain't where I come from on this. And I don't think it makes us happier in the world to do those things. I try to get behind the veil on all the things that we do to make ourselves happy in the modern world and all the things that we're told will make us happy. And some of that stuff is, frankly, a bunch of crap. Diets and things will get you to lose weight. There's no dispute in that. Those diets, most of them work, but not work when you're talking about what it is I think we really want, which is to be healthy and happy. I think we're designed to be healthy and happy. And sometimes we mistake weight loss for either of those two things. And that, to me, is a shame. And I think that weight loss, like everything else, like healthy skin, healthy hair, and happiness and feeling good, are side effects of health, side effects of making this machine that we're living in run better. And I'm going to get a little bit more into that with this here podcast episode today. What do you think about that? Taking a sip. Having a single malt. It's late. It's 10:30 at night. I don't usually do this at night, but I had a busy day today. Busy at the Wellness Center. We're starting a vegan cooking retreat starting today. So I'm teaching the group tomorrow morning, which is cool. I'm going to do a... my little talk for about an hour and a half, and then they bust into the kitchen and do their business for the next 3 days and learn all there is to know. There's also a gardening class stuck in the middle there somewhere. And they're going to get a really awesome, fun time. If anybody out there is interested in retreats, I've got some ones that I head up almost solely, but there's a cooking element to the one I do too. But they're all at livingwellmendocino.com. That's livingwellmendocino.com. And you can find out all the cool stuff we do there, or stanfordinn.com. Finding me? You want to find me, you say? Okay. Instagram and Twitter, at Sid Garza Hillman. Facebook, for now, transitioning to health, but I'm trying to move that over to Sid Garza Hillman too, because I have, not number two, but Sid Garza Hillman also. I've got stuff, you know, in the pike. I got the book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, but I'm working on a new book, co-writing this next squirt, and more news on that later. But because I've got other things going than just even, you know, the book or the practice, I've decided to just kind of plant it with my name and all the things that I do around that. However, if any of you would like to ever work with me on a private basis, I do have my own practice and take clients all over the country. Waiting for an international client. Okay, I know you're out there. But anyway, so that's transitioning to health.net. I have a very unique approach to health coaching. It's not found anywhere that I have ever found. I'll just put it this way, we get to know each other. And wow, that sounded creepy. Anyway, iTunes, on that note, let's get off that subject. iTunes, you can, or let's put it this way, you should leave me a review on iTunes. Why? Well, because if you like it, it helps the show. It helps get the word out, okay? It's a free show. I'm always going to keep it free. But the way that you can sort of pay me back if you feel like you're getting some out of this is just throw me a quick review. It takes 5 seconds. Put it on there. Go. Ready? 1,000, 2,000. I'm just joking. Okay, each month also, I do a Spreecast. The first Saturday of every month, it's a free, again, just giving it away, everybody. Spreecast, S-P-R-E-E-C-A-S-T, Spreecast.com. You should check it out. It's free. The first Saturday of every month, I pop on there live video. You shoot up your questions. Everyone gets to see and sharing the answers. And it's a lot of fun. It's been fun. We've done two so far, and that audience has been growing too. And, you know, it's fun to interact with people who are listening to the podcast too, which is kind of cool. So that's the show notes, as far as I know. Since I'm the one who wrote them. Anyway, so I have taken a couple weeks, almost 2 weeks off from any kind of, like, you know, actual exercise, sort of planned kind of things like that, and which was nice, took it easy. I will tell you that my recovery from the marathon was, I mentioned it before, but it was excellent, and I'm, as you know, bummed about I was with the time. Certainly the recovery was a bonus. I literally could have run probably the next day or 2 days after the marathon. I bounced right back, which is good, and way better than the other ones I've done, and in fact, even better than the half marathons I've done. So that's kind of a positive, and I can only attribute that to my ever evolving practice of the what I'm eating and how I'm living and all the things that I do. And as all of you know, hopefully, instead of not, or, you know, all of you except for the people maybe who are just joining me, health is a bigger, much bigger picture than food. And although I am a certified nutritionist, I take into account all those things in life, especially living in the modern world, all the aspects of life, because they all affect our health and happiness. And it's all about small steps into who you truly are, adding small steps to slowly over time become who you are. Who I believe you are truly, deep down there. And the conflict exists, by the way, when you're acting day to day in ways that aren't truly you, and the stress you feel, or the regret, or the shame, or all the things that are wrapped up in actions that are, you know, in large part resulting from temptations in the modern world. We're getting bombarded with things that, in nature we would never be bombarded with, and it's tempting, and it plays into our addictive, you know, drive and pleasure center, and we're swept around all these places, and sometimes we don't like what's become of us. And the reason why we don't like what's become of us is because we know better deep down. There's a core there, covered up maybe, but there's a core deep down of who we are. And if it wasn't there, we wouldn't feel any conflict with all the crazy stuff that we do in the modern world. We'd be like, yeah, this is it. But our bodies are certainly telling us a different story. Our bodies are in conflict. That's because our bodies have a true identity too, which is that our body's natural state is to be in balance with itself and with the natural world. And when we're not in that balance, we know it, because our bodies will tell us by holding on to extra weight, by having increased blood pressure, increased cholesterol, weakened digestion, weakened immune system. All these modern world problems are because our bodies know better, and they're not able to achieve the balance that they're designed to achieve and would achieve if left to their own devices. So all I'm saying is by step, maybe get out of the way a little bit and let our bodies come through and say, yeah, I got it. Thank you. I'm going to take it from here. As much as you like putting things in a pill, my body says, I don't need them. And if you just give me the stuff, I'll take care of the rest. You just go on watching St. Elmo's Fire. I never thought I'd be this tired at 24. That's water, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why I feel the need to tell you exactly what I'm taking a sip of. Someday I'll do a podcast where I have like 80 different drinks, and I'll just take it. That was Crystal Light. That was RC Cola. I am a fan of RC Cola. I don't know if you guys ever kind of, you know, did the cola kinds of things. I don't drink it anymore. It's been years, but I was just thinking about the other day. That was a phenomenal cola. Never hit the big time. It was like the punk rock of colas. It was just kind of always hanging in the background there. It's probably owned by Monsanto, for all I know. Anyway, back to the exercise. So I've been kind of busting back into the swing of things. I actually took a nice walk, Instagrammed a photo of that as proof, popped off my shoes, and took a nice, easy walk. That was my first foray back into exercise. And man, was that awesome, just to kind of jump in and take a walk and not worry about anything, times or nothing. I was like, this is kind of cool. Just took breaths, did some thinking, did some note taking on my handy dandy digital audio recorder that I, you know, have in my pocket. I talk about notes for the podcast. Without that little machine, you know, I wouldn't be. It wouldn't be here. not the podcast, but I just wouldn't exist without that digital audio recorder. Anyway, so I'm back in, took a couple runs this week and just felt really good. Just glad to be back and really glad to not be training and just feeling it, man. It's cool. I love running. But I'm going to start to incorporate a little bit of strength training there too. I have a TRX suspension trainer. Again, if you're just joining me, I don't sell anything. I don't hawk anything. I'm not sponsored by any products at all. But I'll talk about stuff that I dig. And one thing I do dig is the TRX suspension trainer. I've had it for about 6 years now. And that thing is awesome. And I hook it over my door and I can do a whole bunch of stuff that just kicks my butt if that's where I'm so inclined on any given day. But I am going to jump back into a little strength training. I did a little trampoline, mini tramp work this week. Just easy stuff, man. Just digging it. Maintaining my weight. Now, how is that possible, Sid? If you're not running 55 miles a week now, how is it that you can maintain the weight that you were when you were running 55 miles a week? It's because, everybody, it's mostly about the food you put in your body. The quality, number one, and then after that, a far second, would be the quantity. You heard it right. You heard it here, folks. It's the quality, calories first. Put the stuff in your body, understand your body will hit the weight. It knows what it's supposed to do when you give it the tools to do it. So now that I'm not running 55 miles a week, and I only ran 9 this week, and then a little trampolining, the reason why I'm not putting on a bunch of weight is because I'm not eating as much. Why? Because I'm not as hungry, but I didn't change the quality of calories. I kept the heavy box foods coming in. That's what I've been doing most of the time. Okay, 99% of my calories, maybe 98%, come from heavy box foods. And heavy box foods are those foods that have the calories that we burn for energy, but with those calories, naturally occurring in those calories are a ton of vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants, and the two big ones too that are often forgotten, water and fiber. And when you eat heavy box foods predominantly, you eat until you're full, like you're designed to do, by the way. Portion control? Puh, I spit on portion control. But when you eat heavy box foods, you get full on a lot less calories. So imagine yourself a bowl of lettuce, big old bowl of lettuce, and then compare that to that same size bowl of meat or chicken McNuggets. How about that? Big bowl of lettuce, big bowl of chicken McNuggets, okay? And you've got the same bulk there, and you're filling up on both of those things. Well, one person is going to be looking like a chicken McNugget, and the other person is going to be looking all clear and awesome. Is probably going to have to eat a little more salad to get the same amount of calories. But the problem in the modern world is not a calorie problem, at least not in the country that I am living in currently, which is the United States. We don't have a getting calories issue. There are countries that are having getting calorie issues. The U.S. is not one of them. Developed countries are not having that issue. But they are having an issue of getting quality calories. And that's why I'm focusing on that first and foremost. In the wild, we would look at getting calories. We would need to find food. But we wouldn't be bombarded with all the crazy stuff that we're bombarded with in the modern world, like Big Macs and Cheetos and Ding Dongs and Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. Anybody? Woo, Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. Man, that is, do I say genius? I do. I defy anybody to eat a Little Debbie Swiss Roll and not unroll it as you eat it. It doesn't happen. I don't think anybody's ever actually just taken a bite of a Swiss Roll that doesn't. It just begs you to unroll it. And it's well worth the effort. Couple things. I was invited to be the keynote speaker at a company retreat last Friday in a neighboring, well, kind of a town, but a city. And edit that out. And went over well. Full auditoriums, just super cool. Jumped up there. And I decided, because I've done this a few times now, and I love speaking, you know, to groups and stuff. And I've said this before, if any of you are ever interested, you know, you can throw me an email, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net, or go on my site. I do speak to groups and all those kinds of things. And it's fun. It's fun if you know kind of my style and my approach. But what was great about this group and some groups that I speak to is they don't know my style or my approach. This is like the first time they've ever, you know, heard of me. And the only thing they've heard of me is just maybe the little thing that's in the company newsletter about the person coming up to speak, or maybe they didn't even catch that and they heard even better for me, you know, that a nutritionist and health coach is talking, because what that does is just sets them up for just misery. And I realized after the talk, like one of my favorite parts is like 3 minutes before I'm going on, because I'm looking out and I'm seeing the crowd and they're at a company retreat, right? So they got to go, like they have to go. And they're just like, keynote speaker is a nutritionist. This is going to suck. You know, and I the first 3 minutes, like the 3 minutes just before going on, and then my second favorite, just the 10 seconds, you know, just like, and next up is and she referred to me as the inspirational speaker, which I thought was awesome, because that totally was not where, like, I wouldn't self-describe myself. But anyway, so it's my favorite part is just that looking at the crowd, they're just like, they don't want to like blatantly look at their watches, but they're so looking at their watches. They're just like, when, how fast is this going to start, and how fast will this be over, and when is lunch, and how fast can I get through the misery of this day? And therein lies my challenge. I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was cool. And, you know, I did my thing. I don't, you know, what can I say? I try to make it fun. Health is not for people who are into health. Health is for our species. And I believe that if you frame it, or my goal is to frame it in a way that's fun and accessible to everybody, I don't care what you do. I've worked, if you look at my roster of clients, it is every kind of different person. Like, there's not like a, you know, anything. There's nothing regular. Like, it's a human issue. It's a human species issue. Like, we are all of us listening to this podcast right now are related. We're all related. Our bodies are designed to survive and to thrive. And when we're not barely doing either of those things, we suffer. All of us. We're not different. Sorry, but we're not. We're made of the materials of the earth. We need the materials of the earth to continue surviving and doing the business that we're designed to do. Straight up, plain and simple, done. And, you know, so I kind of tried to put the message out to everybody. So that's how that goes. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and thanks to that group for bringing me out, because it was made my day. Another thing, a little pet peeve here, okay, is that I heard... Well, I know my wife looked it up, but anyway, Vibram, the company, was sued and lost. Now, I don't know the details. I didn't read the lawsuit, okay? Because I don't do that. I'm not a lawsuit reader. I have better things to think about or to do. I did catch the gist of it, though, because people made fun of me at work because I wear Vibrams. They're like, hey. And so anyway, apparently the thing is like, you know, there were claims made by Vibram about, you know, that they strengthen your foot or they increase your posture and all these kinds of things. And so, you know, I don't, maybe they came across as a guarantee that the shoes did that. I don't know. But the thing that pisses me off is that now the thing is like, they don't work. And the fact of the matter is they totally work. Now, is it the shoes that strength give you muscles and the shoes that increase your posture, you know, improve your posture? No. It's returning, guess what, to what's more natural. Somehow, you know, so this one guy was like, see, you just need that support. They don't have the support. It's like, listen, we did not evolve for millions of years without shoes by chance. We have the ability to walk on the ground, even if it's paved, because there's, trust me, hard-packed natural ground too. Somehow we have evolved without shoes up until really, really, really recently. And what bothers me is that when a lawsuit comes up like this, that maybe was about the language used by Vibram on their website. Like, maybe they overstepped their claim and maybe there's a case there. Don't know, don't care. It's a class action lawsuit. I don't want any part of it. I think it's crap. I think if you're not smart enough or ethical enough to look at that and go, you know, so if you've all read my book, which you really all should have. No, I'm just kidding. But if you read my book, you read the story, the little fun anecdote about how when I started running in Vibrams, I stress fractured my foot. Why? Not because of the Vibrams, but because I began running in a way I had never run before, in a style and a gait that I had never run before. And I didn't what? Let me think. I didn't ease into it. I mean, this is the small step philosophy embodied in my stress fractured foot. I went on an 8-mile run on the balls of my feet. I'd never run that way. My feet had been cushioned and supported with arch support pushing up into the arch, which is, by the way, the one way to weaken an arch. I had raised heels. I had done all the things that everybody's told we definitely need to do by, oh, I don't know, big shoe companies. And all of a sudden I switched to having no arch support, no cushion, no raised heels, feet spread out, balls in my feet. And the fact of the matter is it felt awesome. And so I went on an 8-mile run. It's like I walked into a gym having never lifted a single weight in my life and said, you know what, put 300 pounds on that barbell. I'm totally taking this home. What do you think might happen there? There's a 99.9% chance I would get injured, okay? And that's what happened. It's not because of the shoe, okay? I messed up. I'm all right with that. I learned my lesson. I came back. I eased my way in. I would run a tenth of a mile in that style and go back to my other way. And then a week later, I'd do 0.2 miles. And I eased my way in. And guess what? It took me months and months and months. That's how long it takes for the body to adjust to these things. And that, by the way, is including things like diets. That's how long it takes the body to adjust. It takes the body a long time, longer than any cleanse or even any 30-day thing. And I actually think it takes longer than 30 days for behavioral, true behavioral change. You know, we're looking in the health and fitness arena, we're looking for that magic date that you know, as much as we're related to each other by 99.9% or 99.8% of our genes, you know, we, because of the modern world circumstances, we don't all learn new behaviors, you know, in the exact same time. You know, if you do it for 30 days, it's locked in. Well, that may not apply to everybody, because what happens in those 30 days, what you're thinking about in those 30 days, the work that you're doing in those 30 days, the family you're doing, you know, with for the, in those 30, I mean, your whole lives are totally different. And so you may not have that same kind of focus on the new behaviors that somebody else has. Who knows? All I know is it's a long-term process. I did the last episode called The Long View. We have got to get over this kind of, we look for quick fixes in diets. We look for the fastest way to lose weight, even though we know we're going to gain it back, you know, and we start this next thing and everyone goes, okay, this is, you know, we think this is going to be it. And it's just not, there's little chance of that being it. Once we can shed ourselves of the draw of the quick fix, of the draw of the, if I just do this for this long, I'm solved. If we get rid of that and shed that and understand this is a long view and don't even stop and we, and actually stop caring about wondering how long it's going to take and just focus on the process of adding small steps in over time, steps that are manageable and doable, then it doesn't really matter how long it takes, because we're already starting to change in the immediate present, right when we take the step. We're already starting that change. And that to me is, it's about life. You're living life right away. You're living your life right away. You're living more in accordance with who you want to be starting right now. You're not going, well, if I do this diet for 12 weeks, I'm going to lose all this weight and then I'll be that person. Well, that's because that you're not connecting to who you really want to be. You're thinking weight loss is who you really want to be. You want to be healthy and happy. And you might want to be somebody who's fit and thin, but you want to be somebody who's healthy. You know why? Because you're designed to be that. And that's why when you lose the weight, if you don't attach those kinds of values to it, you'll gain it back, because it's not about weight loss at the end of the day. And you know that on some level. You know that on some level. On every level, really. Well, not every level. Okay, so I was taking a run. And I will get to the subject of this podcast. In case you're just wondering what the hell's going on, you're like joining me and goes, is he going to get to the... I do. I kind of ramble. That's what the podcast is. We talk about it. I don't ramble. We are all in this together, and bear with me, okay? One thing I was thinking about, and this is in relationship to, this is totally relevant to what I was just talking about, trust me, is that I was on run, on the two runs that I did this week, only two, everybody, instead of six. God. It was beautiful. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up, man. I'm telling you, I feel like I was a little traumatized by the running a marathon last December and then 2 weeks later starting the new training. It's just not my thing. I mean, I know there's people who are just training, you know, doing four marathons a year. It just ain't me right now. I don't know, you know, to tell you, kind of pretty relieved. And I just love running still. So I didn't burn out. That's a good news. But I'm just enjoying it again in another way. And that's how that, in another way, because I enjoyed the training, but I'm clearly done with that. Anyway, so I was running yesterday, and I've definitely have to kind of let this kind of got to get it done thing going, right? For 6 months training up to this marathon, I was like, okay, got to get it done. You know, I don't feel like running today, but I'm on the training plan, and I was good about morphing it a little bit, but there was still just like, okay, I'm committed to this. I want to see this through. I want to, you know, beat 4 hours, which I totally did not. And so I thought today, as I'm running, and these thoughts are going through my mind, right? I've got to get to the wellness center. When is this run going to be over? Like all these things of these thought patterns that existed before, which were attached to, you know, getting it done, you know, and part of the process for me during the race, this last race was really about enjoying the process. And I've made great strides in that regard, running without a watch, you know, during the training, like really getting used to that and getting, you know, getting ready to run a race without a watch, which I think was a mistake in hindsight, because I really had a time goal. But still, I was kind of like, well, this is kind of a cool thing. I'm not a professional runner. There was nothing at stake. So whatever. I didn't make my time, but I got to learn a lot in this process. So very cool, you know, for me. Anyway, so but today, so I'm on this run and I've got no, like, I've got plenty of time. Like, I was running 4 miles. I wasn't late for anything. I had to get to work at the wellness center, but I wasn't late. And yet, here comes the thoughts, right? And it's, oh, I got to get back. Oh my God, I have all these things to do. I got this long list of stuff to do. I, God, when is this? Where am I at? Mile two. Oh my God, this is taking a lot of time. And it was just like this mind chatter, right? And it occurred to me, it's like I did work through meditation on my running last, this past, you know, for the training, working through meditation, how to incorporate meditation into my running. And by meditation, I mean paying attention, you know, really focusing on the present and enjoying the run, feeling the wind, listening to the trees, listening to the birds, just like being there as a way of practicing then to then what I found is that that carried into the rest of my life, being there, you know, and it's like the things that, you know, I come home and if I had a stressful day at work, I don't want to walk in the door and be still in my stressful day at work. I want to be present with my kids and my wife. I want to be with them when it's time to be with them. And so me grabbing those moments while I was running to work through those kinds of things was invaluable. And I'm never going to stop working on that. I mean, and I'm not there. You know, I'm not there yet. It's a practice. You know, there are still days where I'm like distracted. But clearly for me, and this is for me, you know, it may not be for you, but it's for me, that I want to be more present. I want to continue working in that practice. That is a goal for me. When I talk about that first task that I have people do, which is to write who they are in present tense, I would say for me, I am a person who is present, who's not distracted by work, who enjoys the time now as best I can with family and friends. I don't want to lose those moments. And when I'm running, I want to enjoy my running while I'm running. If I decide to run, then I want to just be all the way there with it. I don't want to choose to run and then spend my time running stressed that I got to be done with the run. Okay. So then for me, I go, okay, there's my value. Boom. Now I'm taking small steps. Now I'm understanding that it's a process and that I'm going to do the best I can on any given run to do that, to do something that is valuable and fun for me about that. Okay. And sometimes I choose to, you know, if I'm thinking about the podcast, I got my little recorder. And that's positive too. I don't want to run and be like, I got to get this done. I want to use that time to either appreciate where I'm at or come up with ideas and thoughts and all these kinds of things. I don't want to be just like all the to-do list of stuff that I frankly can't do while I'm running, can I? There's nothing I can do about it. And I want to take advantage of that. That's just me. Whew, boy, thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Anyway, so what I realized is that I started thinking these thoughts, you know, and I did have this moment of frustration of like, God, why am I thinking about this stuff? Like this is annoying. Like, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to think about this. And it occurred to me in the moment, I don't want to take on the thoughts. And I want to advise you to not take on the thoughts. Because the fact of the matter is I could go into the root in that moment of why am I thinking those thoughts? Why am I thinking about that I've got to get back? Why am I thinking that I've got to get this run over when I don't really want it to be over, but I really enjoy it? Why am I having those thoughts? I could ask all those questions. Well, how was I raised? You know, did my second grade teacher tell me to get it done and not enjoy the process? You know, not cool, Mrs. Seymour. You know, not good advice to an 8-year-old, okay? You know, think next time that you advise little me. She didn't tell me that. I'm just saying hypothetically, okay? God, if Mrs. Seymour is listening, this is the most embarrassing podcast I've ever done. Plus, she's 90, 100 years old. Anyway, so I could go into those things. I could be like, okay, what's the root of that thing? And that's not a bad thing, but all I'm saying is, in the moment I thought, those thoughts are there. That's all I need to know, and I don't really care. Because if I start going into those thoughts and all that kind of stuff, guess what I'm still not doing? I'm still not being present. I'm still not enjoying the process. I think there's a time and a place for discovery, but it wasn't like a thing that is a heavy, heavy thing about me. I don't really care where it comes from. and me trying not to think those things, that's going to fail too. Been there. So what I did was I thought, the thoughts are there. So here's what I'm going to do. I just go, are these who I am? Are these the thoughts of who I am? Sure, they're in my head, but are they who I am? Are they who I am or how I was raised? What is that? Are they in line with who I want to be? Do they mesh up with who I want to be, how I want to be in this moment? Are these thoughts who I want to be in this moment? That's all I asked. It was 2 seconds. I was like, this isn't how I want to run this run. And when the frustration was there, that's what kind of triggered me to think, like, why am I being frustrated? Why am I frustrated right now? And I thought, I said, just simply, it was like a 2 second thing. I was like, this ain't me, baby. And I'm not forgetting anything. I don't have to be back. I kind of confirmed that I wasn't missing something. Like, I didn't need to be at the wellness center that moment. And then I just went back to listening to all the things that made me present. Listening to my breath, listening to the wind in my ears, listening to my feet hit the ground. Did my thoughts wander away again? Absolutely. That's the process. I mean, that is the process. And when they did, I pop right back. And you know, it's not like ever solved. It's not like, okay, well, that's done. But the immediate benefit of just that quick recognition that this was not making me feel good and was in conflict with who I truly am brought me right back to present. And even if I had only become present for 30 seconds after that, that's more than I would have if I had just let those thoughts take me over. And that's a small step. And that's cool. And that's what I'm talking about here. I mean, it's grabbing, if it's 30 seconds more than it would have been, that's a huge win. That's a huge win. We don't have a lot of time to ourselves in the modern world. We are bombarded with a whole bunch of stuff that distracts us at all times. So for me, having 30 seconds is amazing. How many of you wake up and spend even 1 minute breathing in the morning before the whole world comes flooding in your brain of all the things that you have to do or haven't done or need to do, or and even as mundane as just getting the house ready, you know, and packing your lunch, right? I mean, we don't have these moments. So sometimes it is about moments. I mean, that's what it is, okay? Taking moments. As a side note, and I don't really know why this is funny, but I was driving home the other day, and this is related because it's all about kind of being present or whatever. But anyway, I live semi-rural, you know, and I was driving up the road, and there was a girl on a horse texting. And I don't know why that's funny. I can't quite figure out why that's funny. It's something about the horse being obviously no technology, and then the phone, and she was texting while she was riding a horse. Kind of made my day. She was like one-handing the steering wheel of the horse, which would be Urane, but she was like holding that with one hand and just freaking texting out to her buddy while she was riding a horse. And I thought, I don't know if that's like the most awesome thing I've ever seen or the most terrible, saddening thing I've ever seen, or a little bit of both. Anyway, hats off to texting while riding a horse, girl. Pretty sweet. And probably just as unsafe as texting and driving, I would imagine. Also don't know why. Okay. Still rolling here. Next subject. I get a lot of, I taught a very, very awesome couple yesterday Saturday at the Wellness Center. And they signed up for a private class with me or whatever. And so I was teaching them. It was so super cool. And the subject of dairy came up because they have a traditional, they're part of their traditional fare, you know, growing up where they did, which was India, was dairy, a lot of dairy. And so they were cool. Like, they were asking me questions because it's a light box food, everybody, you know, and we're not meant to breastfeed, and especially from a cow. So those things came up, and I was sort of talking about, you know, light box foods versus heavy box foods. And I go through the spectrum where it's like, on one side is, you know, refined plants, which, you know, of course are vegan, but I don't talk about in my classes. I don't even talk about vegan, vegetarian. I'm just talking about nutritional value of food. So I'm talking about light box foods, and the lightest box are kind of the refined plants. And then I go into dairy, which is, again, light box food, ton of calories, but the damage outweighs the benefit, you know, and you can tell by the fact that we have really, really crappy bone health in this country. And yet dairy is the thing we're going to for bone health, et cetera, et cetera. And you move on into into flesh, you know, muscle food that we eat from animals. And then there's a spectrum there too, because you've got the conventional stuff, which is just cuckoo town. And then you've got organic, more naturally fed stuff. And then you've got wild food. And then you're getting into the nuts and seeds. And then beyond that, fruits. And then finally, vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was sort of like, you know, super nice. And we had a lot of fun. We're laughing around. He's like, seriously, so what is the thing about the dairy? You know, because we grew up with dairy, you know, like sorry, I dropped my pen. We grew up with dairy. And these are kind of these things. And then, of course, the line came up, which was, I don't think I could ever give up cheese. And that comes up a lot. And in fact, there was a really nice guy that at the company retreat who came up and he's like, you know, he has asthma. And I was talking about asthma. And he was like, what, you know, what about that? And you know, is this really true? And I said, yeah, but, you know, take your time. But certainly giving up dairy for me cured my asthma, straight up. Cured it, done, whatever. It just happened. I have never had asthma since 1992. So... and dairy was the thing I changed. So he was interested. He goes, so milk. And I said, yeah. And yogurt and cheese. He's like, oh, cheese. Oh man. You know, I don't think I could ever give up cheese. And it kind of got me thinking that, of course, you know, look up casomorphins. But so part of that speaking is just the kind of the addiction of the opiate of dairy, which exists. They're called casomorphins, and it's an opiate-like effect in the brain. And so there's the addictive quality there. But on a purely routine sort of behavior thing that comes up a lot, and I think for me, what's relevant to my practice and this podcast and my book is to kind of get over this kind of thought of, or just acknowledge this: whatever you do every day, right now, it's could be starkly different from, let's say hypothetically, somebody who's healthier than you, what they might do every day, right? And what you might do every day might be starkly different from somebody else who's a lot less healthy than you. Or maybe it's not even in the health realm. Just the things that you do every day that are built into your day could be completely different from anybody else's. But that doesn't then mean that it's impossible for you to incorporate what another person does into your life that becomes then normal for you. So here's what I mean by that. Think about right now how easy your everyday routines are. Brushing your teeth, showering, putting your makeup on, commuting to work. Those are in order the things I do every day, by the way. But all the things you do, you get up and you brew coffee, all the things you're doing when you're not even thinking about what you're doing. I mean, just who here doesn't, raise your hand, brush your, not you, guy on the rowing machine, honestly, don't just keep your hands on the bar there. But how many people just do stuff that you're not even thinking about doing? Brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth. Go to bed at night. Okay, I'm going to bed. Go back and brush your teeth, and you get in bed. These are routines we do every day. We don't think about them, do we? Okay. But there's this kind of assumption in the modern world, I find, that we assume that anything we don't do now is somehow unreachable. Like, oh, I could never do that. I could never run a marathon. Now, are there people who could never run a marathon? Yes. I mean, if they have a physical impediment or something that is going to prevent them physically from doing it, fine. But if you're just a person and you're relatively healthy and you have no, like, you know, you have your legs and you, or even if you don't, of course you could wheelchair one, but let's say you've got something that is literally preventing you. Other than that, you could totally do a marathon. I mean, you could do a marathon. And I think, you know, at that point, it just becomes whether you want to or not. But to say, oh, I could never give up cheese. Of course you could give up cheese. There's no reason at all that you can't give up cheese. I mean, just period. I mean, at least understand you can give up cheese. You could stop eating cheese right now. You could just take it out of your house, throw it away, and then wherever you go with somebody, just say, don't let me eat cheese. I mean, you could just stop doing that. I know it's easier said than done, and it might make you miserable, but it's not impossible. And all I'm saying is the uncomfortableness lies in the transition, but I need everybody to understand that all the things you do right now without thinking about it that are just your routine, you could change those things, and eventually they would be new things that you just do without thinking. I mean, what I eat every day doesn't make me miserable. You know, when I make my shake with 15 bananas and whatever, 10 dates, whatever, blueberries and stuff I do, I've been doing this for over a year. I eased my way into it, and then I've been doing it for over a year. I don't think about it now. Did I think about it before? Yes, I did. And I also didn't put pressure on myself. I thought, I'm just going to try this out. So the transition wasn't even stressful. But I had values attached to those actions. I had goals. I wanted to see what that's like. Now, do I do this for a living? Yes, I do. And I like to live, again, live by example. I want to try stuff. I want to live this way. I want to try the process and the actual thing that I'm working on. In other words, I want to ease my way into more fruit and also eat more fruit and see what that's like. How does that affect my running? How's it, you know, all these kinds of things. But I've been doing it a long time. I don't wake up every day miserable. I eased my way in a way that was comfortable for me. Now, did I go pretty quickly? Yes, because I do this for a living. So for me, it's like taking on fruit every day, not that big of a deal. And the thing is, it's not every single day anyway. I mean, that's the thing, right? So I found a balance that works for me, but I ease my way in. But I want you to just, again, take a deep breath and don't throw any kind of trek or adventure out the window because you go, I could never do that. Most times you totally could do that. Now, whether you choose to or not is up to you, but at least put it out there. And if you choose not to do it, fine. I mean, what's, you know, whatever. There's no, I'm not invested. You're not, and obviously you're not invested. That's okay. Just, I don't choose to do that. I don't want to run a 50-mile run. But you could. I mean, you could. Most of us could. Most of us could. You could take the time to do that. Just like me with a six-pack that I talked about a few episodes back. I could have a six-pack. There's nothing preventing me physically or genetically or anything. I could get a six-pack. Do I want to? No, I realized I don't want to. I don't want to spend all that time in the gym. I don't want to. It doesn't carry enough value for me to do that. I'm thin. I've got a flat stomach. I'm athletic. I feel really good every day. That extra thing ain't going to be a thing. Okay? It's not. It's just not worth it. I weighed against the effort it would take to achieve that. It's not my baby. Okay? I ain't going to do it. So don't throw it all out. Don't think that health and happiness are unreachable, because they are, or at least increased health and happiness are reachable for every single person, period, period. And then you just go, do I want to take this on or not? And then you go, if I do want to take it on, what can I do today that's going to cause me minimal stress? Period. It doesn't have to be stressful. Are you going to think about it in the transition? Yes. But does that mean you're going to have to turn your life upside down and make yourself miserable in the transition? No. No. Especially when you understand that transition is open-ended, everybody. It doesn't fit in a nice, neat little box of 30 days or 21 days. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Could you do it in 21 days? If that works, if that fits for you, I don't know. But I'm not going to set a time that applies to all human beings on the earth, that if they do, you know, this diet for 21 days, that they're set for the rest of their life. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. And it wouldn't be satisfying anyway. Trust me, ain't going to deliver. Okay. The last thing I'm going to say before I touch upon the title is about delayed gratification. This is something that comes up a little bit in my practice, and I'm a big fan. I practice it myself. Again, easier said than done. But the point is this: when you are feeling a craving, this is where I think technology serves a really great purpose, is that you can set a timer on your phone. And let's say you really feel like getting that Ben and Jerry's out of the freezer. You set a timer for 5 minutes, and you set a timer for 5 minutes not with a goal of dissuading yourself of the Ben and Jerry's, of saying, "Oh, I'm going to try not to have it." No, you go, I can totally have the Ben & Jerry's. I'm just going to wait 5 minutes. And you mean it. Like, you can have it. And the point is that this comes up again and again, sometimes with clients, and sometimes just with people I'm talking about, is they'll go, well, I had this and I chose to do it. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes our addictive qualities or pleasure center things, and this is, I'm just speaking about myself now, because this is totally, I can have a plan of a day. Like, I can get up in the morning and go, I just want to eat this today. Like, I ate kind of heavy over the weekend. I just want to kind of stick to my normal most of the time plan today. And if I'm feeling hungry in the moment, I can convince myself in a very powerful way. Now, maybe everyone else listening to this is just going, you're just weird, dude, because that's not at all how we think. However, by the end of the day, if I'm feeling a little tired, I'm a little hungry, all of a sudden I'm hearing in my voice, and I can kind of giggle about it now, but in the moment it's 100% real to me. You're eating really well. You can totally eat this. It's a big deal. This is healthy. You know, you're fine. You have a flat stomach. Like you don't, it's, there's no conflict here. You're fine. You're choosing to do this and you're fine. And I'm not fine. And I'm not. You want to know why? Because after I do eat that thing, because I convince myself that it is a choice and that I truly am choosing it, I regret it sometimes. Sometimes I don't, but sometimes I do. And that's how I know. But the power of addiction, and by the way, it's never food that is like natural. It's healthy food. Like usually it's when I'm at the wellness center or the restaurant there and the food is great. It's whole plants. It's amazing. But it's, you know, it's a little heavier than usual and there's, you know, it's salted and things like that. And it's healthy. I mean, I'm not saying that. It's just that sometimes I like to eat a little light or a little more watery filled fruits and vegetables, you know, that kind of thing that dominates my day. And so I can always tell after, or if I'm at a party or something, I'm like, you know what, you're doing great. Like, you know, whatever. And maybe not even at a party, just whatever comes up where I'm around food. It could be in my house where I come home at the end of the day, I'm a little fatigued. I don't really want to eat. I just want to have my big salad. I don't want to eat anything heavier. But I hear those things, those words come in. Oh, you're fine. Gosh, what's the big deal? And then at the end of it, I'm regretting it. That's how I know it's in conflict. And that's how I know that I was fooled that it was a choice, that it wasn't actually in line with what I wanted, what I had chosen to do for that day, that my defenses were worn down. And I'm just throwing that out there because sometimes delayed gratification can give you just enough perspective to get to where it is actually a choice, where it's really a choice. Again, very hard because in the moment, if you're craving something or you have that power of like the pleasure center kind of drive, you can convince yourself that it's okay. You trust me, it can seem and look and feel like a choice on every level until you do it and then regret it. And then you go, son of a bitch, that was totally not a choice. I just fooled myself. So delayed gratification is one of those little tools you can kind of 5 minutes, turn around, walk out, go, I'm totally having this in 5 minutes, but I'm just going to kind of take a little breath for 5 minutes. You'd be surprised how many times you go, you know, I totally don't want that. I mean, I've actually looked for things in the refrigerator, and if I can't find it, that's like enough for me to go, I totally don't want that. You know, like, or I'll go to my wife, I'll be like, hey, Lise, where's the thing? Then she'll go, oh, we're out. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. I totally did not want that. I mean, that literally just happened. I was looking. I think we had some cookies or something left over. And I was like, where are those bastards? And she was like, oh, I was looking for them. I finally was like, where are those then XYZ? And she's like, oh, that we the kids ate those. And I was just like, oh, thank goodness. Because I totally would have plowed. I totally would have plowed. This is about me. Okay. That's what my way of leading into the subject of this podcast episode called Center of the Universe. Now, the impetus for this episode was an Onion headline. If you guys have not read The Onion, it's a satirical newspaper, very funny. I've been following it for years and years before it was even on social media and Twitter and all those kinds of things. Excuse me, one sip. And there was some just like amazing headlines. I mean, it's all about the headlines. The articles are funny too, but the headlines are just paradise. But anyway, one of them was this: physicist discovers center of the universe. And that's a quote. He says, it's my beautiful 5-year-old son. And I at the time just thought that was hilarious. And now of course I have a 5-year-old son who is the center of the universe. Anyway, I just thought that was very funny. So I don't know why I was thinking about that the other day, but that led me to think like center of the universe, and I kind of played with all that. And what I realized is that, and this relates to most things I talk about in this podcast, but it occurred to me that all I want just to think about this week, all we have, each of us, is how we experience the world. It's literally all we have. Each of you listening to me is listening from inside your body. Everything you experience in the world is, in effect, an interpretation by your brain, and how you interpret that is how you experience that. So what I mean is when you look at a car, the car is not obviously in your head. It is light going through your eyes and interpreted by your brain. Sound waves go into your ears and are interpreted and translated in by your brain. How what you taste, what you smell. There's no tastes that exist independently of your tongue. It's how you experience whatever biochemical thing is going on that food, and it's interpreted by your brain. In a sense, we are the center, each of us, the center of the universe. We are the portal through which we experience the entire everything. It's all experience. It all starts with us. You've heard me say that before. It all starts with us. And what I've been thinking a lot about lately is what that means to be the center of the universe is that we can, through our actions, open up our center, open up ourselves. And I don't mean like center yourself, man, but I just mean this mechanism through which we see, hear, smell, touch, taste. Have you guys ever heard the XTC song, Senses Working Overtime? That was totally, I just nicked that involuntarily. See, hear, smell, touch, taste, senses working overtime. It's classic. XTC. Get it. We can either open up through our actions our ability to experience the world, or we can be more closed off. We can be more open to experience, or we can be more closed off. And we can do that on a physical level by how we treat our bodies. We can treat ourselves poorly, and you know, you've heard the cliche of, you know, he puts walls up around himself. Like, we can literally, by treating ourselves poorly, we can be in conflict with our natural design and in a sense close ourselves off to experience, to a broad experience. It's like plugging your ears. You are closing yourself off to sound waves, to certain, you know, on that spectrum. When you plug your ears, you can't hear certain things. You are closing yourself off. In a way, when we mistreat our bodies, we are closing our bodies off. Our bodies are becoming plugged up in that very covering your eyes. It's that kind of act in maybe a more metaphorical way, but a way I think is very relevant to how we experience the world. And I'll tell you that it is why I come back often and why I'm a certified nutritionist to the food we put in our bodies, because we cannot escape this fact, and that is that we experience the world through our bodies. It leads me to believe that the healthier and cleaner and more energetic and energy-filled and life-filled our bodies are, that somehow translates into how we experience all the things that we experience. How clearly we see and think and feel and smell and taste, I think, is dependent on the health of this mechanism. I mean, I always think it's funny, like people talk about energy and all these kinds of things, but the machine through which they're experiencing the world is gummed up. It's gummed up. The windows are dirty. The windows are dirty. And it's opening yourself up by treating yourself well. And it's not just the physical part, but it's also the act of treating yourself well, I believe, opens you up to more experience, to more things that are going to affect your life in a real way, in a quality-enhancing way. So center of the universe is tomorrow when you get up, or today when you're awake listening to this, because I don't know when you listen to this podcast. Think about the fact that as you're listening to this, this is going on in your head. Nobody can get in your head. Nobody can find out what you're doing inside of you. You are experiencing the entire universe through your body and your mind. It's all happening from inside you right now. You are the center of the universe. Each of us is the center of the universe. We only have how we experience things. That's all we have, is how we experience things. There's nothing independent of that experience. We can't find out what something really truly is in a way. It's only how we interpret that thing to be. And the better our machine is, the better our mechanism is at interpreting that, the more free we are to interpret, the more open we are to experience, the healthier and more in balance we are with our external world. If we are conflicted mentally, if we are conflicted physically, we are dealing with those conflicts rather than dealing with the experience of the world around us. We are gummed up by food that is light box and in conflict with our body. We are gummed up by making ourselves exercise that's stressful on our bodies instead of life-giving. It's draining. We're gummed up with that. We're pushing too hard and we're not supporting ourselves and we're sending ourselves the messages of beating ourselves down and beating ourselves into submission and putting ourselves through hell to lose weight and flooding ourselves with vitamin and mineral pills so we can eat whatever we supposedly eat whatever we want. We're gummed up with those actions. We're closed off. We're missing out on a whole bunch of stuff in our lives that we could experience. But we're missing out on these things because we're gumming ourselves up in all these ways. And so what do? We recognize that first. We recognize the things that we're doing that are in conflict with who we really are and who we really want to be. You look at that first and you go, you know what? I spent a lot of time miserable because of this. I spent a lot of time feeling shame because I'm hiding and eating food that I don't want to eat, but I'm embarrassed about it. And so I'm continuing that practice. I'm beating myself up at the gym. I don't enjoy going to spin class. If you don't. I don't enjoy whatever XYZ. I'm tired and I'm still pushing myself. I don't enjoy my work. If you don't. But it's about opening yourself up even to those truths. It's understanding that you're the center of the universe. It's understanding that your experience is it. That's it. It is just your experience. And then you go, how do I open this up? How do I become more open to everything in the world? Clear it up. Clear up what is inside of you. Clear up those things that are making you unable to experience all the things that you, I think, want to experience in the world, including the people you love. How bogged down are you? How gummed up are your gears? I was going to recommend just a thing to try on, which is one time at some point, and this is related, I'll tell you how. It won't seem like it at first, but try one meal with fresh vegetables only. No dressing, no flavoring, no salt, no sugar, no pepper, no nothing, no thing. Just a crap load of fruits, vegetables even. Just lettuce and cucumbers and tomatoes and celery and whatever. You can cut them in a salad or you can eat them, just eat them. And eat a ton. Eat a full meal's worth. And see how you feel. You're not going to die. It's going to be all right. You're going to survive without, you know, Hidden Valley Ranch. You're going to be okay. Are you going to feel miserable? I'm just asking because you don't know. You might just be like, this is absolutely painful. But then see how you feel afterwards. And how you feel is again how you experience the world. It's how you are experiencing the world and understanding what the world is in a way, how it is affecting you. Eating a meal of natural food that isn't artificially flavored, because even if that salt is natural, it's not part of the food, is it? It's added salt, it's added sugar. There's plenty, trust me, there's sodium in food. But when you shake salt on something, and by the way, I eat salted food, so I'm just saying, let's recognize it. When you add salt to something, it's added salt. It's like added sugar is not the same as sugar in a banana. They're not the same. They shouldn't be in the same conversation. They shouldn't have the same name. But try it one time. If you can't get through it because it's so miserable, just look at that. Go, that's interesting. Compare eating a big bowl of fresh, watery vegetables to eating something that is maybe a little more comfort food, but not so healthy. See how you feel. Don't go in with, I know how I'm going to feel. See how you feel. Where's the conflict there? Is it there? Is it not there? But it's the small step philosophy, and this is why I'm the small step advocate, is because I always come back to this. The small step philosophy is one of clearing out. It's cleaning house. It's getting rid of all the impediments to experiencing the world as an open center of the universe. It is clearing those conflicts out over time as long as it takes and learning about yourself in the process of doing it. It's not getting to the end. It's beginning the process and staying with that process, and life gets better and better over time. You can't cheat it. You can't jump ahead. You can't clear things out. You just got to start clearing it out one step at a time, one bit of clutter at a time. And you feel better right away. When you jump into a diet or a fitness plan, you're not decluttering. You're distracting yourself from cluttering, from decluttering. You're distracting yourself from the house cleaning process. You're like renting a clutter-free house for 21 days. And then you, guess what? You got to move right back into your cluttered house. Holy crap, was that a good analogy? That was on the fly. That was literally on the fly. I just totally made that up. I did not have that on my notes. You are decluttering your house when you take small steps. You are removing the waste and the stuff that is gumming up your ability to experience the world, and that is all you have. The better you do it, the better your life is. Straight up, end of story. All the things you value, moving your body, relating to your friends and family, being with them, those are all enhanced the more open you are, the more open your center is, the more able you are to experience them in the present, to pay attention to them, to pay attention to what you're doing, to do things better and more with more energy and with more life. Open yourself up. Take your time doing it. Because when you declutter, one of the things that happens is sometimes you are going through the rubbish and stuff comes up and there's memories there and there's artifacts and things that maybe you covered up on purpose for a while. So take it easy on yourself and never forget that the process that you're in and the reason why you're listening to this podcast, I don't need to know who you are to know why you listen to this podcast, because you on some level want a different way to do this. Because on some level, you are slowly understanding that diets and quick fixes actually don't work for real. Beyond reading the statistic, you're experiencing this now. You're like, this is crap. This doesn't work, and you want another way. And I believe this to be the way. And that's why I come here every week to tell you that this is the way, because I do believe this is the way. Because why? Because I'm not handing you a plan. I'm helping you figure it out for yourself, and that's why it's real, and that's nothing that anything other than this kind of way can deliver for you. A diet and quick fix cannot help you figure it out for yourself. They make you think they've already figured it out, and all you got to do is follow, do exactly what they say. It doesn't work for what you are designed to want, which is health and happiness. This does. Open yourself up. Come back next week. I will be here. All right? Be well. Where are we? What do we wait? For the world to fold up, for the world to set everything straight. Then in our breath,
send us spinning. We'll break us apart, it will. We'll send us spinning. We might.